Here's Happy Jack Turner.
Good morning, good morning. A happy good morning. A happy good morning. Sisters, brothers, fathers and mothers, grandmother, grandfather. I'll sing you some old songs from the garden. And if they make you happy, then I'll ask you soon. Morning, good morning. A new day is dawning. A happy good morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's your old friend Happy Jack Turner in person, all ready to greet you with his old songs, the new songs, and of course, the fingers with the bright piano rhythm. That's Happy Jack Turner's way of saying and playing good morning to everybody. All right, Jack.
Good morning, a new day is dawning, a happy good morning to you.
Well, good morning, Jedward Kirby.
Good morning, Jack.
Hiya, Jedward.
Oh, swell. Just grand.
Oh, I just feel so hot this morning.
Well, good. Temperature 35 in Chicago.
Well, it's kind of snow a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like wind is coming over that lake, too.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly is.
Well, I guess we better get along with a little song here, don't you? Kind
you
of cheer the folks up a little bit.
All righty.
Got your paper ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm going out to do a little looking over a four-leaf clover.
I'm looking over a four-leaf clover that I overlooked before. One leaf is sunshine, the second is rain. Third are the roses that grow in the lane. No need explaining, the one remains is somebody I adore. I'm looking over a four-leaf clover that I overlooked before.
Tell you, I'm there in spirit, helping you push those clothes across the board. You know, I said in spirit. Yes, sir. Quite a job, isn't it? I'm going over here on page 5 of my little book now. Very appropriate when I'm with you.
When I'm with you, life holds a deeper meaning. Sweet mystery enthused my timid heart. My vision soars through lofty thoughts of splendor. Like space is all and wondrous work of art. A song divine, the nightingales are singing. Of gems that shine like starlight in the dew. All these and more, to you I dream of dreaming, sweetheart, it's true. When I'm with you, thank you. and through the finish line. My vision soars to lofty thoughts of splendor, like spacious halls and wondrous works of art. Of songs divine, the nightingales are singing, of gems that shine like starlight in the dew. All these and more, to you I do not bring. Sweetheart, it's true, when I'm with you.
Well, now we go over on page 5 of the little book. We'll have a finger play this evening. Kalua. Kalua, that's the name of it. Over on page 5, isn't it, Alan? Page 5. Philosophy I'd like to pass on you down here. Might you hear something with
that? Yeah, I would, Jack.
It says here, worry is futile and senseless, being born often of a blindness that will not wait. Would it?
Very nice.
And you paid it by your taste. Oh, what couldn't I get there from, but it's pretty good stuff.
It's about time to make a little wish, isn't it, Jack?
Oh, yes, but it's either make a little wish and say a little prayer.
Now, Nettie.
Have you got one, Mommy? May your wish come true, and may all your prayers be answered. Now, here's a little song, fellow very apologetic. Tell the gal I saw you, though he made her cry. But he kind of lied, but he was kind of glad he did it. Would you like to go there with him? See how he apologized then. I'm sorry, dear. So sorry, dear. I'm sorry I made you cry. Won't you forgive? Won't you forget? Don't let us say goodbye. One little word, one little smile, one little kiss, won't you try? It breaks my heart to see you.
We interrupt our programs to bring you special news bulletins. We take you now to the NBC newsroom.
Ladies and gentlemen, here are some of the latest bulletins on the war. The Chinese government, which for 4 years has been the victim of so-called incident at the hands of Japan, morning has decided to make a formal declaration of war against the Japanese, and also against Germany and Italy. The Japanese foreign minister has just made this announcement at a news conference. And here's a bulletin from Melbourne, Australia. The Prime Minister of Australia, John Curtin, has just announced that the Japanese have attacked the island of Nauru. And here's a brief summary of the war news in the Orient. The Japanese army already has overawed the nation of Thailand. Siamese troops have made a brief show of resistance and then quit. Peace negotiations already are in progress. The Japanese attack has seemed to switch to the Asiatic region. Tokyo's officers have attempted to land on the forces have attempted to land on the British side of Borneo Island. There they were repulsed. Singapore naval base has had a new air raid today, lasting 45 minutes. A Japanese landing on the Siamese coast near British Malaya was repulsed. Our own Philippine Islands have been heavily bombed, mainly at northern centers, including one of our Army air bases. So far, Manila, the capital, has escaped bombing. In the Central Pacific, Japan has attacked not only Hawaii, but our islands of Wake and Guam to the south. Since the first attack yesterday on Honolulu, no further activity there is reported. The United States fleet is somewhere at sea on battle mission. As of this hour, the nations that have declared war upon Japan also include the Dominion of Canada, the Dutch East Indies, Australia, Costa Rica, Nicaragua. In London, the government in exile of Belgium announced that it is at war with the Japanese. Holland's Queen Wilhelmina is going to address the world by radio at noon. She's expected to put all Dutch resources into the effort alongside Britain and the United States. President Roosevelt's message to Congress is timed for 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. I'll repeat that. The President is addressing the nation and Congress at 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. The National Broadcasting Company's nationwide networks are now on a 24-hour basis. Keep tuned to your local NBC station for latest news. This summary has come to you from the NBC newsroom in New York.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
We have just received a bulletin. Britain has declared war on Japan. We take you now to London.
It is indispensable that in our system of government, Parliament should play its full part in all the important acts of state and all the crucial moments in the conduct of the war. He said, "I am glad to see so many members have been able to be in their places in spite of the short notice." Mr. Churchill also said that instructions were sent to the British ambassador at Tokyo and communication was dispatched to the Japanese chargé d'affaires at 1 o'clock today, stating that in view of Japan's wanton acts of unprovoked aggression, the British government informed them that a state of war existed between the two countries. And I return you to Charles Collingwood.
Well, Prime Minister Churchill has announced the declaration of war. When Congress meets, everyone here expects that President Roosevelt will ask for one. That is one of the differences in the way the parliamentary institutions of the two great democracies work. The Prime Minister has fulfilled the statement which he made in his Mansion House speech on November 11th. "At this time," he said, "I take this occasion to say, and it's my duty to say, that should the United States become involved in war with Japan, the British declaration will follow within the hour. America is certainly involved in war with Japan now, and this is the British declaration of war." And now, John McBain again.
I remember that Mansion House speech. Mr. Churchill said that Britain now feels strong enough to provide a powerful naval force of heavy ships in the Pacific and Indian Oceans. He noted that this movement, in conjunction with the United States' main fleet, would give proof to all who have eyes to see that the forces of freedom and democracy haven't reached the limit of their powers. And then in Mr. Churchill's speech, if you remember, he went on to say he'd always done his best to promote good relations with Japan. I now return you to Mr. Collingwood.
Another bulletin which has just come in, they're coming in all the time now, refers to the actual military event. According to Mr. Churchill, who just finished saying this in the House of Commons, the Japanese began a landing in British territory in northern Malaya at 6 o'clock local time yesterday, and they were immediately engaged by our forces, which were ready. Mr. Churchill is presumably going on at the moment to say more about this landing in Malaya. His statement that they were immediately engaged by our forces was greeted by cheers, and in the official record, it has the usual laconic British parenthesis, cheers. And now another bulletin from John McVain.
Home Office measures against Japanese nationals, Mr. Churchill said, were set in motion at 10:45 last night. The House will see, therefore, he said, that no time has been lost, and we are actually ahead of our engagements. I'll hand you over to Charles Collingwood.
Well, the British papers, which were printed, of course, before Mr. Churchill made his declaration in the House of Commons, had some interesting comments to make. The Daily Express this morning thought, "The bluff is over. The war that Japan has meant all these years in all her dealings with Britain and America is open war at last. Don't expect the early stages of the sea fighting to be easygoing for America." And now another bulletin has just come into the studio, John McVain.
Mr. Churchill informed the House of Commons that the Royal Netherlands government at once marked their solidarity with Great Britain and the United States at 3 o'clock this morning by stating that as a consequence of Japan's action, a state of war now exists between the Kingdom of the Netherlands and Japan. I'll hand you to Mr. Collingwood.
Well, this has been a weekend of declarations of...
Yes. Mr. Churchill today stated in the House of Commons that Britain has declared war on Japan. I'll hand you to Charles Collingwood.
We've just got another bulletin in. Mr. Churchill says that when the war was declared, instructions were sent to the British ambassador in Tokyo, and a communication was dispatched to the Japanese charge d'affaires at 1 o'clock today. That's 1 o'clock British time, which is 2 hours and 20 minutes ago. This communication informed the Japanese charge d'affaires that we had learned that Japanese forces, without previous declaration of war, had landed on the coast of Malaya. The British cabinet, as we've already told you, met at 12:30 today and authorized the declaration of war on Japan. The message to the Japanese charge d'affaires then followed within half an hour. Mr. Churchill did not think that it was necessary to wait for a declaration of war by the United States Congress before declaring war on Japan himself. And so he jumped the gun on his Mansion House speech, which indicated that the declaration of war would follow within the hour. The general British point of view in this crisis that confronts the world now is that America and Britain's record has been clear in the negotiations that have been going on. As the Daily Telegraph said this morning, all that lay in the power of wise statesmanship to do has been done to advise Japan against the crowning of her desperado's record with this last proof of political insanity. And now for another bulletin. Go ahead, John McVain.
Mr. Churchill told the House of Commons that he sent a message yesterday to the ruler of Thailand telling him that Britain would regard an invasion of his country as an attack on herself. Mr. Churchill said he had also sent a message to General Chiang Kai-shek, assuring him that henceforward, Britain and China would face the common foe together. I'll now hand you over to Charles Collingwood.
The British have been using a good deal of strong language about Japan and her latest acts of aggression. One of the most strong is in this morning's tabloid, the Daily Mirror, which says, "No doubt this last of the hungry jackals is only too willing to support the other robbers. Yet her plunge is a signal of despair as well as a symptom of madness. The yellow dream will end in a nightmare of black defeat and despair." Another bulletin from John McVain.
Mr. Churchill revealed to the House of Commons that Japanese envoys were ordered to prolong their mission in the United States in order to keep conversations going while a surprise attack was being prepared and before a declaration of war could be delivered. No one can doubt, Mr. Churchill said, that every effort to bring about a peaceful solution has been made by the government of the United States, and that immense patience has been shown in the face of the growing Japanese menace. I'll hand you over to Charles Collingwood.
The latest Japanese aggression is taken here in London as the final crowning death blow to her present political system. There was as I was walking down the street today, I noticed one of those placards that British newsboys put out to advertise their papers. And on this placard was chalked in a rude hand, "Japan commits harakiri." And the thing about that was that everybody knew exactly what the newsboy meant. "The war is now worldwide," is the general conclusion of most Englishmen. America, which was yesterday the arsenal of Britain and Russia, has from today to deal in addition with immediate problems of self-defense. And that raises the question in British minds of the future of American supplies to Britain. Everyone here is wondering about that. Everyone is anxious about it because these American supplies that have been coming here have been very useful. The Japanese attack, according to most observers, will have the effect of pushing American production to the peak much more rapidly than would otherwise have been the case. But, so they say, it will also require yet a further diversion of supplies which were destined for Britain. Greater than ever, therefore, is Britain's need to organize her own production without delay to the limit of efficiency. That's what British observers are saying. And now let's see whether John McVane has got anything more or any comments to make on the speech which Mr. Churchill is now making in the House of Commons.
We haven't had anything yet, but I think that the British reaction is still very, very interesting. In recent months, as they watched American opinion, the British have felt that a fantastic unreality was present in United States politics. The argument that America wasn't vitally concerned in this war made them wonder why some American politicians hadn't learned by the bitter experience of Britain as well as France and the rest of the nations that have fallen before the Axis. Now the British think Japan's attack on Hawaii will clear the thinking in America. The thinking especially of those Americans who felt they weren't really at war until United States soil was attacked. British soil has been attacked a good many times. The British know what it feels like, and they'd rather do their fighting in Libya, Japan, or Germany than in Britain. Now here we have another snap that's just come in from the House of Commons. Mr. Churchill said that although the imperative demands in Europe and in Africa have strained Britain's resources, the House of Commons and the British Empire will have noticed that some of the finest ships in the Royal Navy have reached their stations in the Far East at a very convenient moment. I'll hand you over to Charles Collingwood.
That reference of Mr. Churchill to British reinforcements in the Far East reminds British listeners of the news which was released just the other day that the Prince of Wales and other undisclosed capital ships arrived in Singapore, and that the new chief of the Singapore command is a famous little admiral, Tom Phillips. He is only about 5 feet 4 inches tall and is known in the Navy as the Tom Thumb Admiral. He's one of the most brilliant strategists in the British Navy and is described as all brain and no body. Mr. Churchill is still speaking in the House of Commons, and we have a very short bulletin which has just come in. He says, in typical Churchillian language, "In the past, we have had a light which flickered. In the present, we have a light which flames. And in the future will be a light which shines over all the lands and seas." And now back to John McVane.
Under the hammering, I think it's interesting in view of what Mr. Churchill said to note that under the hammering of war, of bombing and defeats, Britain has become a simpler, better country to live in than it was in the Munich days. This attack by Japan and the Japanese declaration of war has brought a lot of excitement, but no turmoil to this country. And the average Britisher feels it's just an expected extension of the battle. I'll hand you over to Charles Collingwood.
In the House of Commons now, Mr. Churchill begins to refer to the United States. He has just said, quote, "It only remains now for the two great democracies to face the tasks with whatever strength God may give them. We must hold ourselves," he said, "very fortunate And I think we may rate our affairs not wholly ill-guided, that we were not attacked alone by Japan in our period of weakness after Dunkirk, or at any time in 1940, before the United States fully realized the dangers which threatened the whole world and made large advances in military preparations. That's the last word which we've had from Mr. Churchill. He's still speaking, and he's probably still speaking on the topic of American relations with Great Britain and the growing closeness between them, which is one of the things which people here count most highly in this crisis which is now going on. John McVane has just received another bulletin from the newsroom quoting Mr. Churchill.
Mr. Churchill said that so precarious and narrow was the margin on which we then lived that we did not dare to stress the sympathy which we had all along for the heroic people of China. I'll hand you over to Charles Collingwood.
And now Mr. Churchill's speech is still coming in, but it's running a little slow now, and so we return you to New York.
You have just heard a special program from London in connection with Britain's declaration of war on Japan. Now, here's some late bulletins we've just received here at our NBC newsroom in New York. Briefly, here's a summary of the latest events here in the Far Eastern battleground. The Japanese already have overpowered the tiny nation of Thailand. The Siamese army fought only briefly, then gave up the struggle, and peace negotiations are now in progress. Our American bases in the Philippine Islands have been attacked by Japanese bombers, but up to this hour, apparently Manila, the capital, has escaped attack. One Japanese landing along the thin peninsula of Malaya and Thailand has also been repulsed by British troops. Another Japanese attack upon the British coast of Borneo also was frustrated. The Chinese government has formally declared war upon not only Japan, but Germany and Italy as well. This summary has come to you from the NBC newsroom in New York.